Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
Hello, how about now? Helps to turn it on. Good evening. How are we doing? Good. Good week so far. We just started, I know. But beautiful weather. Thank you, Lord, for the fall. I love this time of year. And so we're going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to say fun. I think it's going to be powerful at the same time. I believe God's got some amazing things for us tonight. And let me just remind us about tonight. Up here, you'll see encounter nights are for followers of Jesus. Is everyone a follower of Jesus in here tonight? All right. To gather in an expectant and safe atmosphere where we depart from the normal to pursue and experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, which we'll be doing a lot tonight, worship Jesus extravagantly, and minister to others. So these nights are intended to dive into some of the ways that the Spirit moves, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and lending ourselves to Him so He can move through us in so many ways that He wants to. Oftentimes, we don't talk about the ways of the Spirit and can focus on, rightly so, on Jesus and what He's done for us. But there are also nights like this where we devote to experiencing, diving into, pressing into, as the Bible says, earnestly desiring the gifts of the Spirit. That's what we're encouraged to do. So we're going to earnestly desire those things and see what the Lord wants to do through us, in us tonight. So this may be some bit of a new experience for you tonight, and that's great. We all have new experiences in God forever. We're going to have new experiences in God. And that's part of the wonder and the beauty. And there's this is a safe atmosphere. It's safe to try and make mistakes and try and take steps. You know, when our kids are growing up and they take their first steps, it's usually not too great. When they stumble and they stand back up and you cheer them on to try it again and you celebrate all the trying. You're not celebrating the perfection, you're celebrating the trying and the effort, and that's how the Lord is with us. We're His kids, and so He's wants us to really grow in His Spirit moving in us and through us. And so we're going to talk and focus on one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit called tongues. You may have heard of. And so I want to give you a few scriptures here, and we'll talk about this a little bit, and then we'll practice and do some prayer in the Spirit. Okay. John the Baptist prophesied of Jesus. In Matthew 3:11, this is John the Baptist speaking, says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not fit to remove His sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So John the Baptist prophesies, says Jesus is coming. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's one of the purposes of Jesus coming to the earth, is to baptize in the Holy Spirit. Of course, He doesn't do that until He leaves the earth, goes to heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then Jesus says in Acts 1:5, after He's risen from the dead, He says, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." John baptized in water, but there's another baptism coming, a different kind of baptism. This one's not a water baptism. This is a baptism with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of the beautiful, wonderful things that Jesus came to do and is given to every follower of Jesus, to be baptized in Him. And then at Pentecost, which Jesus prophesied, said this was going to happen. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They were filled with the Spirit. And once they were filled with the Spirit, one of the things they began to do is to speak with other tongues. Now, this had not happened before like this. But once the Holy Spirit came on the inside of them, baptizing them, one of the things that began to happen was their tongue changed. They began to speak in other languages. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. This is Peter speaking. Baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God given to us for every believer, every follower of Jesus. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself, meaning us here today, 2,000 years after this event, the Holy Spirit is still given to every one of us who follow him, who believe, who receive him. And then 25 years after, 25 years, think about that, after Pentecost. So you'll hear some people say that this was just a dispensation. This was a moment in time where God was doing something with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do that anymore. Well, here's 25 years after Pentecost, and it says that Paul is traveling and preaching, and he finds some followers of Jesus, some disciples of Jesus, and he says to them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he says, well, what were you baptized into? And so they explain it, and he says, okay, let me pray for you. I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when he did, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit 25 years after Pentecost. And it says here, Acts chapter 19, verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So once hands are laid on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. Again, it's like going back in time 25 years, in a sense. The Holy Spirit is still doing the same type of things 25 years later. And they begin speaking in tongues and prophesying. Often those two go together. And sometimes the tongue is a prophecy. Just have no idea. So this is what the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does. And the Apostle Paul explains the activity of a person who's baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he explains 9 different gifts. We have 9 fruits of the Spirit. We have 9 gifts of this Holy Spirit. So let's talk some about these 9 gifts. I just want to read through here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. He explains this. Now, I'm so glad Paul did this to help us understand this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects. There are a lot of varieties, by the way. The Holy Spirit is not just doing one thing one way, the same time, every time. There are varieties of all of these gifts. They come in a variety of ways. It's not just one way. But the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's for other people, not just for us. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us to function in, to walk in, for him to use us to help other people, to bless other people, to edify other people, to build other people up. They're also used for us as well, but for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom, which is a supernatural wisdom, through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge, supernatural information, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I'll just add here real quickly, we won't go into this too much, but everyone has a measure of faith, the Bible says. But then there's the gift of faith, which is talked about here. That's a different kind of faith that certain people, some people operate in, that the Holy Spirit can use to do that. We'll talk more about that another time. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. Again, everyone can pray for healing for people and God can use them. But for some also, there are the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. I want that one. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits, which is mostly distinguishing good spirits, not bad spirits, by the way. To another, what we'll focus on tonight, to another, various kinds of tongues. How about that? Various kinds of tongues. There's going to be all different kinds of tongues that you will receive and you will flow in and the Lord will use in on the inside of you. Various kinds, not just one kind. Various kinds. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So gift number 8 and gift number 9 have to do with tongues. A tongue that's given and interpretation of tongues. And there are various kinds of tongues. There are the kind of tongues that are personal tongues. I'm praying to God, more by myself. I'm praying in the Spirit. There's one kind of tongue. There's another kind of tongue that can be a corporate message tongue that needs to have an interpretation for that one, right? And it might be the same person that gives the tongue and the same person gives interpretation. Oftentimes, one person gives the tongue that's for corporate and a different person has the interpretation. It can work because they're varying. So it can be many different kinds. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. So there's different purposes for tongues. And I read the scripture explains a little of that. If you wonder, what is tongues for? Why is this one of the gifts? Such an interesting gift, isn't it? What a beautiful gift. When you read that in Acts, at Pentecost, when you have all these people, Galileans in particular, speaking in languages that only other people know who speak that language from another part of the world, that is mind-blowing to them. It declares the greatness of God, the power of God, and usually that's what they're saying. They're glorifying God in this tongue. They have no idea they're saying that. I have a friend, and he ministers a lot in deliverance. He's been here a few times to our church, lives in Canada. He travels the world, and when he's ministering, praying over people, and he will oftentimes pray in the Spirit. When he doesn't know what to say in English, he's praying in the Spirit. And usually, he told me this, typically it's every time when he is traveling in another country where he doesn't know the language, they will ask him afterwards, "We didn't know that you knew our language. When did you learn it?" And he said, "I don't know your language." They said, "Well, you were speaking our language while you were praying." He said, and he will often ask them, "What was I saying?" He said, this is very consistent. "You were glorifying God. You were talking about how great God is." Happens to him over and over and over. As he's praying in the Spirit, he ends up speaking the real language of the local people where he's ministering. It happens to him all the time. That is like Acts. I remember I did a trip once to Turkey. I was actually got stuck there. It was a mistake with some flight stuff. So I was stuck in Istanbul, Turkey for 3 days, which is a fun place to be actually. And when I was walking around, it sounded like I was hearing myself speak in tongues when I was hearing their language. But I didn't have the courage at that moment to speak in tongues to see if they understood me. But it was like, this sounds like my prayer language when I was there. It could have been, I don't know, I should have tried it. I didn't have enough courage at that moment. One purpose for speaking in tongues is speaking to God or praying to God. Speaking is praying. Praying to God, speaking to God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 1. "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts." Not only are the gifts of the Spirit for today, but here, this is the next level. It's not like, yeah, they're around. It's okay, you know, if you accidentally trip over them or something. It's not just that. Here it says, earnestly desire them. It's just not nice to have, but the Lord is saying through Paul, I want you to have an earnest desire for these things. Like, go after these things. One of the translations says to covet the spiritual gifts. That sounds strong. wish that you had them. If you see someone or you hear about, you read about, this is a gift that the Holy Spirit can give. We have permission. We have permission to earnestly desire that. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That doesn't sound very religious, does it? It's because it's not. But we have been given permission to earnestly desire these things, spiritual gifts. The Bible says, earnestly desire them, but especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands what in the world they're saying. I added that part. But to his spirit, he speaks mysteries. So even the person who's praying in the spirit, they're praying to God. And they're speaking mysteries that the enemy doesn't know and you don't usually know. Praying in the spirit is a powerful thing. When I was in the, I used to work for the CIA. And my job, I was in communication. So all I did was deal with cryptographic equipment every single day. Everything that we did was encoded and decoded. And tongues is like that in the spirit. It's messages that are sent and no one knows what they are but God. There's just this encoding that he does by the spirit. And then people who have interpretation giftings, they like have an encoder. They understand this is what is being said by the spirit. It's a beautiful thing. In the crypto world, there's what's called a key. And if you have the key, you decode what's encrypted and you understand it. That is like the interpretation of tongues. It's a key that helps decode or decipher what doesn't make sense. Okay, verse 5 of this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, Paul says, now I wish, here's what he wishes, that you all spoke in tongues. Paul's desire is that every single person spoke in tongues. I believe it's available for every single person, as the Holy Spirit is available for every person. And sometimes it may not mean that we all speak corporately in a tongue, but I believe we all can personally in tongues. I really do. I believe that is our inheritance. Verse 18, same chapter. I thank God, this is Paul again, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Or y'all, if he was Southern. I thank God that I'm speaking in tongues more than anybody I know, is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I pray in the Spirit a lot. I'm always praying in the Spirit. And he's saying, I wish you all did. I wish you all spoke in tongues, spoke in these languages that no one knows but God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's part of what he wants to do through us. And it is a secret weapon. Let me say that as well. Praying in the Spirit is a secret weapon. I will sometimes joke, though there's some reality to it, there are times in life where you need emergency tongues. When you don't know what to pray, when you don't know what to pray, you pray in spirit because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. How about that? The Holy Spirit always knows what to pray. And sometimes when we don't, just go into Spirit of God gear. Spirit of God gear, because he knows what to pray through you even though you don't have the words or the understanding to what to pray. He who are praying, empowered by the Spirit, who's praying through you, things you have no idea. You could be calling out names, specific names of people in another country, and you have no idea what you're saying. But you're bringing them before God. Or you are rebuking the enemy, and you don't even realize you are. Praying in the Spirit. It's a powerful, beautiful, spectacular gift God has given to us. It is not weird, though it is weird in the sense that it's unusual, but it's not weird that this is something from heaven. The things of heaven are spectacular. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. Tongues is one of these. Beautiful, wonderful things. I wish that you all spoke in tongues. And again, when there is a tongue in a corporate setting, there needs to be an interpretation. So there's not confusion. But oftentimes, as the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, if you read both those chapters, that sometimes a tongue is given in a corporate setting, and the interpretation is given, and someone who doesn't know God is there. And it says the things in their heart are revealed. And they go, oh my God, oh my goodness, God is in this place. Oh my goodness, God is in this place. It's a supernatural invasion of God that can reveal the hearts of people and lead them to him. That's one purpose of praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. So speaking to God, God using us to speak to others. And then in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude verse 20 and 21, it says, build yourself up on your most holy faith. How do you build yourself up on your most holy faith? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is another way to say praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're not only talking with God, but you're building yourself up in your most holy faith. It's like faith is growing on the inside of you as you're praying in the Spirit. It's a disconnect of your brain and a connection of your spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, when I pray in the Spirit, it's a disconnect from your brain, which is a beautiful thing. Because the Spirit, we're supposed to be those who are, Romans chapter 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's a leading of the Spirit. Our Don talks about this often. It's such a beautiful thing that we have to put Spirit first, where the Spirit is leading the way. And when you pray in this, when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking in tongues, it's like Spirit first is in the lead. It's a wonderful thing to do. I would say I would do this every day. I often speak in tongues and I'm not even conscious that I'm doing it. I will do it when I'm driving a lot, do it under my breath a lot, do it out loud sometimes, sing in the Spirit often. Praying, singing in the Spirit, which we're going to talk about tonight too and do some. So these are purposes: speaking to God, edifying the church, building up yourself in your most holy faith, and edification of the body. 1 Corinthians 14:26. I mentioned this already here, but what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation of that tongue, let all things be done for edification. So the purpose that I'm speaking in a tongue or interpreting is to build other people up, not to show people that I'm spiritual. Right? So we're edifying. If it's not going to be edifying, if it's not going to build other people, then I don't need to be doing that publicly. But I can pray in the Spirit for myself, build myself up in my most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. You mentioned there that chapter 12 that I read, there are various kinds of tongues. Let me talk about that for just another moment. I remember when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, my tongue that I began to speak was very, I don't know how to really describe it, but it didn't have a whole lot of words or a lot of sounds. It was some of the few things over and over and over, three or four things maybe over and over and over, and then it started to grow. It's like my language, my spirit language expanded. And then over time, I found whether I'm singing or praying that it will change to almost a different language. So one day it might be like this, another day like that, another day it might be like the combination of two or three different kinds. But there are various kinds of tongues. And I've also noticed this, that sometimes you're praying in the Spirit, depending on what you're praying about, it could be almost a warlike tongue. You know what I'm talking about? Right? There's almost like a warlike tongue that comes out. But then there's the sweet singing tongues. And there's the soft tongue as well. And there's the intercessory tongue. The tongue where you're praying, your compassion is flowing through you as you're praying in the Spirit through a tongue. It's not warlike. It's intercessory. So there's various kinds of tongues, not just one. So many different kinds. And I've noticed mine change over my life. My tongue has changed over my life. It's not the same. It just said, and I don't know what it's going to be like from day to day. And it's also something that I never get stressed about doing. It is at this point, for me, it's more of a free flow. At the same time, I'm still initiating oftentimes. Sometimes I'm initiating. Sometimes I just feel the Holy Spirit initiating. But either one, it's the Holy Spirit moving through us as we allow him. Yet he doesn't necessarily take your tongue and make it move. Every once in a while that will happen. That doesn't really happen with me. It may happen with you, where you can't maybe even control necessarily. I think maybe Acts chapter 2, when we first see at Pentecost, they were speaking in tongues. There was a strong utterance. It was a strong compelling, perhaps, for that to happen. That my guess is that from after that day, it probably wasn't that same way every day. It would probably a little bit different because there are various kinds of tongues, different ones. All right. As we go into, that's enough just kind of establishing this a little bit. Any questions at all before we shift gears? No? Great. Well, to pray in tongues, to speak in tongues, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a free gift. It's a wonderful thing. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, zero pressure. Everything that God does is by invitation. I love that about God. Love everything about God. But this thing is so wonderful to me. It's never under duress, never under pressure. But he invites us. And so if you would like to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and then join us as we're going to begin praying in the Spirit, we have prayer teams who are available to pray for you. Tori and some folks right over here. They would love to pray for you and give you this gift. You know, in Acts chapter 19, that's where Paul was traveling. As I just mentioned, they said, no, we never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, would you like to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And then they laid their hands on them. This is my wife, by the way, so I can do that. They laid their hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues. So what these teams will do, too, with your permission, is they'll lay hands on you and believe that the Holy Spirit will move through them into you, and you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift. So if you'd like to do that, Kylan, if you don't mind coming up with your guys to just play softly while we do this first part, and then the second part too. So if you'd like to, we're going to be praying here. And let me say this too, that this is my belief, and I believe this is from the scriptures, though it's often taught differently in different places. But I don't believe that if you're... Well, let me say this. Some are teach that you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. I don't see that in the scriptures. I think you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit your whole life and not speak in tongues if you don't want to. So some say it's the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible says you can speak in tongues once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I've run into people through my life who've been condemned feeling like they have asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit 1,000 times, but they're having trouble speaking in tongues, and so they doubt their baptism. So you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues. It's like you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not do miracles. Okay, right? But I believe that we can do miracles sometimes here. So, as you are prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, oftentimes tongues comes slowly for people, comes with maybe one syllable. As you lend yourself to that syllable and speak it, and it sounds foolish, and just look, turn off your brain and get connected to the Holy Spirit and ask him to speak through you, you'll find other words that begin to form. They begin to form, and then they flow out, and it will grow. It's a language that grows. When you learn a language, you're not great at it usually right off the bat. Some people are. I wasn't. I'm still trying to get a hold of English. I'm not the best at that one even yet. So this language of the Spirit is something you grow into as it flows out of you. So there's not like a perfect way to do it. It doesn't have to sound perfect. So for the rest of us, if you wouldn't mind, how about we stand up? Are you guys okay? What I'd like to do is a couple of things tonight that I think will be powerful. As I'd like to pray for a couple of things tonight. In our minds, we're going to be thinking about, I'm praying for this. But our mouths are going to be praying in the Spirit. So you're thinking about this one thing that you're asking God to do, but you'll be praying in the Spirit rather than English for that thing. Does that sound okay? So we'll just do that together for a little bit, and then we'll switch and we'll pray for something else. We'll be thinking about something else and praying in the Spirit. And again, our teams over here will help you pray in the Spirit as well if you'd like to have them pray for you and help walk you through that. So here's the first thing I'd like for us to just take a few minutes to pray about. Let's ask God in our spirit for his presence to fill this church. For his presence to fill this church. But we're going to ask him not in English. Let's ask him with our tongue, with our spirit language, okay? So let's just all close our eyes, if that's all right. And we're going to pray in the Spirit. Let's begin to pray in the Spirit, thinking about the presence of God filling this place.